John 14, the verses 15 to 27.
If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be within you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. This is the word of God.
So we're just going to read the verses 3 to 11 of 1 John 2, which will be my text for this morning. 1 John 2, starting at verse 3, but stopping at verse 11 rather than 17. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one which you've had. Since the beginning, this old command is the message you've heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded him. I've entitled my message for this morning, Do You Really Know Jesus? Dear congregation, other adults and children, the Lord Jesus once said, Watch out for fake prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. In other words, Jesus tells us, don't believe everything everybody tells you. Test what they say. By their fruits you shall know them. You'll be able to tell whether they are telling the truth or lying by what they do and by how they live, rather than only by what they say. Jesus tells us even to examine ourselves. Don't believe everything you think and say about yourself. Test your own thinking, your own claims, by what you actually do. In his Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." It's not just about saying, it's about doing. And that's what our text for this morning is about. It's about being sure that we are real followers of Jesus, real believers in Jesus, people who love him and who obey his commands. The apostle writes, "We know that we have come to know him. We know that we've come to know Jesus, really know him, if we obey his commandments." It's one thing to claim that we know Jesus, that we are Christians, that we follow him. It's another to have real, living, day-to-day contact with Jesus. Because that's what it's all about, isn't it? The Christian faith is about having fellowship with God the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. That's what this letter of John is all about. It's about having fellowship with Jesus. It's about knowing Jesus. Let's talk about that for a moment. What does it mean to know Jesus? Well, the simplest way I can put that is to know Jesus means to love Jesus. To know Jesus means to see that Jesus is what the Bible says he is, what Jesus himself says he is. What does Jesus say? He says, "I am the Son whom the Father sent so that you will not perish but have everlasting life." I have come to seek and to save the lost. I have come not to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. Jesus says, "I love sinners. I love you. I've come to save you from your sins and reconcile you to the Father so that you have eternal life. So that you will have a future, an everlasting future, but a future that's already starting here and now in the knowledge that I am your good shepherd who will provide you with everything you need for life and for godliness." To know Jesus is to know that he is concerned for your everlasting good. We saw something of that love of the Lord Jesus last time I preached on this letter. Let me just remind you of the heart of what I preached on last time. It's found in the verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2 of 1 John 2. Now I've lost my page. Here it is. My dear children, says John, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to our Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, Jesus came to save us from our sins so that we would no longer sin. That means that we would no longer do anything contrary to the will and honor of God. That was the purpose of his coming, that we would become good people, loving people, obedient people. But John writes, if we don't make it, if we slip up, if we fail, then Jesus doesn't immediately say, I'm finished with you, I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore because you're not living up to what I told you to do. No. Jesus, instead of putting us down, goes to the Father and prays for us that God will continue to look on him as our Savior and our righteousness and not deal with us according to our sins and failures. Now, isn't that love? Jesus protecting us from the holiness of God, from the holy righteousness of God. We should never underestimate that holy righteousness of God, you know. The writer in the Hebrews says, our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. He burns up everything that is evil, that is contrary to his will and glory. The angels in heaven cover their eyes, their faces, because of the holiness of God. Jesus is our atoning sacrifice, which covers our sins, so that God doesn't look on them, but sees the righteousness of Jesus when he looks at us. Now, if you've got that in your mind, and if you've got that on your heart about Jesus, what is your response? Is it your response to despise Jesus or to love Jesus? If you know that Jesus gave his life and keeps on paying attention for your good, don't you love him? Don't you say he's the best, as we sang before? He's the best I could possibly have, and anything else is just nothing in comparison. Now, says Jesus, if you love me, if you love me because I love you, then you'll keep my commandments. We read that in John 14. You'll do as I say, because you know that what I tell you is good for you. Well, what's the commandment of Jesus? Well, John tells us, you can put it one way, you've got to live like Jesus did. How did Jesus live? I came to serve, said Jesus. I came to spend my life for the good of others. That's how Jesus lived. Jesus loved. He loved God. But Jesus also loved his neighbor, us. That's why he died. If he had just said, oh, I love everybody. I love everybody. But he had refused to allow himself to be crucified. He would never have been anyone's savior. And we would all have perished in our sins. Jesus' love for us was a very, very costly love. It took up all his life. And that's what love is about. Right from the beginning, God said that we should love our neighbor. The opposite of love is to compete with our neighbor. Is trying to outdo our neighbor. The opposite of being kind is to rob someone. Is to make him pay more than he should. Or take away from him or her what rightfully belongs to them. What God wants them to have. We are to care for each other. To forgive, to be kind. Forgive, says God, as I have forgiven you. How does God forgive? Does God forgive? I'll forgive you this time, and the next time you do anything else, he rattles off a whole list of all the things you've done all your life before. Drags them all up again. No. God forgives by putting our sins and burying them in the depth of the sea. And some say it said, no fishing allowed. That's how we're to love. When God forgives, when Jesus forgives, he will not hold our sins against us. They will not stop him loving us. That's what forgiveness means. Forgiveness means I'm not going to remember what you did to me because I'm going to continue to love and care about you and I will serve you in any way I can. That's what love is about. That's why John says that the person who says he's walking in the light, and that is, if the person says, I know Jesus and I love under the direction of Jesus. In his light we see light, and I'm following his way. But if that person who claims to be in the light hates his brother or sister, John says such a person is a liar. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if most of you would think, but I don't hate anybody. I don't hate anybody. And is that really a possibility that Christians would love, I mean, would hate fellow Christians? Why is that here? Why is John writing that to Christians? And why does James write about having fights and what have you? Because, you see, hate is not only a feeling. Just like love is not a feeling only. Real love is doing. And real hate is doing. And what is love other than doing the good for others? And hate is doing the bad for others. And that's what we're told not to do. But that's sometimes what we do. We actually act to the disadvantage of our neighbor and even of our brothers and sisters in the church. We're not always open and honest. We're not always genuine. We're not always willing to serve. We know there's a need. Look, somebody else can tend to that. That's not for me. Or we're too good for that. Or they don't deserve it. Or however we put it, we're not exactly acting in the name and spirit of Jesus, are we? As Jim DeWitt said a couple of weeks ago, love is not the same as liking everybody. And might it be true that hate is not the same as disliking people? It's just refusing to do them a favor. What are we motivated by? Are we motivated by what other people do? Or are we motivated by the love that Jesus has for us? Because that's what Jesus was motivated by. He was motivated by the love of his Father. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you, says Jesus. Was Jesus motivated by our perfectness when he gave his life on the cross? Was he motivated by our love for him? Or was he motivated by his love for us? Did we deserve it? Or was it out of the goodness of his heart? That's the question. Do we live, do we treat each other out of the goodness of our hearts, which is the goodness of Jesus? The response to his love for us. No, none of us are there yet, are we? We need, again and again, to confess our sins to God. And we even have to confess our faults, our failures, to each other. And that can be the hardest thing for us, can't it? To apologize. To say I was wrong. Because we like to think that we've got it all together and that somehow our standing with Jesus depends upon our having achieved that love which he asks from us. But we're all in the same boat. We're all in the need not only of Christ's atoning sacrifice made 2,000 years ago, but we're all in need of Christ's ongoing intercession prayers for us, aren't we? And if that's true, if Jesus prays for me, then he's got to pray for you. We're in the same boat. And then the best thing that we can do for each other is remind each other of that. And say, isn't it great that Jesus cares that much for us? And if Jesus cares that much for you and for me, then we ought to care for each other, ought we not? And when we do that, when we care for each other like that, that's proof that we've come to know him. Then we know Jesus. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment. Love each other as I have loved you. And then he goes on to say, by this all men will know that you are my disciples. If you love one another. You see, it's by our fruits that we show whether we really know Jesus or we're just claiming to. Amen.